We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Jody Cameron and John Ritchie from Eagles training camp. We're going to be here tomorrow also, by the way, which we're looking forward to. Short show tomorrow into a Phillies game. Phil's only with a couple more games until the baseball trade deadline, so we'll be all over that for the next 48 hours or so, and then the 2 months beyond, and Eagles training camp tomorrow, and this will be a bunch of days we'll be down here, so looking forward to it. Ray Dittinger joins us in a moment. James, you got some news back there?
Yeah, well, we've wondered about it. Jalen Hurts was asked in his press conference just a few moments ago, and he has let us know that he is among the 90% of Eagles. He is vaccinated.
That's good. That's good. I like that. All right, happy to hear it. All right, for more perspective on the Birds, let's talk to the Diddy. He joins us every single Wednesday, and Ray Dittinger on the first day of training camp is a great day to talk to the Diddy, Mr. Ray Dittinger. Ray, how are you, pal?
I'm good, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. Ray, we're doing good. We're excited to be here. You know, you think about it, Ray, it's been essentially 24 months for John and I to be at training camp. And, you know, Sirianni was asked a question about the nature of, you know, having fans out here. Some fans, of course, but he can't really know what it used to be because, you know, he never experienced an Eagles camp before. It's Sirianni's show now. And, you know, Ray, we were talking earlier today about sort of how Sirianni, there's been a bounce back in public perception just over the last 6 months, I guess in some ways because he didn't have a bad press conference after he started out with a couple bad ones. But how do you project Nick Sirianni as a head coach, and do you think he's ready for this moment?
We'll find out. You know, we'll find out. I mean, that's I'm sorry if that sounds like a cop-out answer, but I think
it's the only fair one.
I mean, it's the only fair one. I think that you're the way you characterized it is correct. I think he got off to a pretty bad start, but I think he's recovered. You know, I think that his last couple media availabilities, he seemed a lot more comfortable. He seems a lot more less robotic and more human. And I think he comes across as a pretty good dude. You know, I know his backstory. You know, I know the fact that he grew up in a football family. His father was a coach. His brothers are coaches. I mean, this football is all he's known. And you can kind of see that. And, you know, if you look at the profile of most of your successful guys that are successful in pro football, and some who are unsuccessful, but the ones who are successful, they generally tend to grow up around the game. I mean, there's no better example of that than Bill Belichick.
Yep.
You know, this guy, and I'm not trying to compare him to Belichick now, but, I mean, there's some stuff to like about him. As I said, the last couple of press conferences, and as he's talked a little bit more about his philosophy, the things that he values, the things that he's looking for, I find myself sort of saying, yeah, I'm with you. I know what you're saying. And now we won't know any of this. We won't know how much of this matters at all until they actually get out there and they start playing a little bit. But, you know, I think people are warming to the guy, and I kind of find myself doing the same thing.
Ray, the other main guy sort of launching, I mean, Devontae Smith is launching. It's his first camp, and we'll see what he's got. But the other main one really is Jalen Hurts. John and I were struck today by his lack of accuracy. You have talked extensively.
And lack of size.
Well, and lack of size. Yeah, first time we've actually been in his presence because, of course, we couldn't be here last year. You've talked extensively about Hurts's accuracy, being an issue. Is it, in your opinion, the number one thing that could hinder him from being an effective starting quarterback?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Because when people talk about his arm, they talk about his arm strength. I don't think his arm strength is an issue. I mean, he's got plenty of arm. But I mean, he was highly inaccurate at Alabama when we first saw him. Got better at Oklahoma, and then last year, you know, not so much. I mean, 52%, that ain't going to work. You know, maybe in the NFL in the 1940s, you know, you could get away with that, but not now. That's it. You know, I think a lot of the other stuff, I think he's got. You know, if you're not accurate, you know, if you're not accurate, you just can't win in this game. I mean, it's, you know, you got to be a 60-65% guy minimum to be considered an elite player and win games. And right now, I just think that's his biggest challenge.
Ray, I don't know if you heard what Elliott comes out to practice and keeps stats on all the quarterbacks from period to period. And today they started in a red zone period, which in my mind, as an offensive guy, the quarterback should be completing, 95% of those. Today, Jalen Hurts was 5 of 16 in those, team periods, which is 31%, nowhere close to that 65-plus you were referring to.
Right.
How much can working on Jalen's feet, if Coach Sirianni tells us he's going to be obsessed with the fundamentals and getting his feet in sync with each play, how much can the feet improve that 5 of 16?
Hugely. I remember interviewing Bill Walsh years ago, and there was no better teacher of the passing game than Bill Walsh. And I remember this was back when I was at NFL Films, and he and I had a long session out in Santa Clara, and I talked to him about developing a quarterback and developing a passer, and how do you coach guys to be better throwers. To me, it seems like a really hard thing to teach somebody. They kind of either are or they're not. And Walsh said it's all about the feet. He said it really is. He said everybody talks about the release and is he over the top? Is he from the side? He said if you don't have a good base, if your feet aren't in the right position, what your arm does doesn't matter. And he made a statement I thought was really interesting. I've never forgotten it. He said you guys at NFL Films. He said you could give me a cut up. You could give me a film that showed me a guy from the waist down. Okay, a quarterback from the waist down, from the point where he takes the snap, you just show me his body from the waist down, his legs and his feet, and I can tell you whether the ball he throws is complete or not.
Wow.
He said that's how important that is. He said some guys are freaky and can overcome it. I mean, we've seen some guys that make some ridiculous off balance
throws. Brett Favre.
Favre being case in point, but. 90% of the guys in the league can't make a living doing that. They have to do it the right way. They have to do it the conventional way. And it all starts with your footwork. That's one of the things, as much as I was defending Carson Wentz last year, or tried to, I mean, that was one thing I couldn't deny, that last year his feet they totally went out from under him. I mean, his mechanics completely fell apart, and it started falling apart with his feet. And if Hurts is going to get himself up to being, a really consistent, winning quarterback in the NFL. It all has to start with accuracy, and it's all going to start with his footwork.
Ray, Nick Sirianni or Eagles brass has not been willing yet to publicly declare Hurts the starter. Do you think that's a mistake? I mean, today Sirianni, basically his messaging was, I don't have to name a starter until week one versus Atlanta. Is that the wrong foot to get this season off on?
I know everybody's kind of talked about that a lot. I think he's trying to be consistent with the message that he's been sending out right from the beginning, which is this is all about competition. Everybody's competing for every job. And I think I've said all along, and I'm pretty consistent on this, that I think that's a great message to send. I mean, the idea that this is going to be a competitive training camp and that everybody's going to have to go out and compete for what they get, I think that's good. I think that's a great place for him to start. But if that's going to be your message, then you can't make the quarterback the one exception. You can't come out and say, yeah, we're all competing at those other 21 starting positions, but the quarterback's the quarterback. No, I mean, if it's competitive, it's competitive. Now, I don't think anybody, and certainly I don't believe that there is competition. I don't think that they're at quarterback. I mean, I think it's Jalen Hurts' job, unless they trade for Deshaun Watson, and then we have a whole different conversation. It becomes a whole different conversation. But right now, with the guys that you have in camp right now, I don't think there's a single person here that believes it's going to be anybody other than Hurts. But I think right now the coach is, because he's so emphasizing the idea that everybody's going to have to work what they get for what they get, I think he's reluctant to sort of hand that over.
I agree. That makes sense. Ray, what do you make of the fact that Andre Dillard started with the ones today instead of Jordan Mailata at left tackle?
I don't put a whole lot of stock in it. I think that could change by this time next week.
I hope.
I'm with you. I kind of hope it does. I think if Nick is true to his idea of competition, then I'd be willing to bet you that if it's fair competition, my Lotto's going to win it. Now, we've heard in the off season, and Dillard has sort of said all the right things about I've put in the time and I've worked hard and I've tried to get stronger, which he really has to do. I mean, the strength part of it is huge for him. You know, when he came out of college, you know, the one thing about him, John, is, I mean, for as much abuse as he's taken and people are really down on him, and I kind of understand that, and he didn't perform well when he had to play. But if you look at his college tape, as a technician at left tackle, he was very good. I mean, I would go so far as to say he was advanced as a college player in terms of pass protection. His footwork, his hand usage, all of that stuff. Understanding the angles. He was really smart, but you had to be in that offense because they threw on every down. But it looked to me like the one area where I thought he needs to work is he needs to get stronger. I mean, bull rushers gave him problems, big-time problems. And then he got up here, and it got worse. So if he's going to be a guy that's actually going to play left tackle in any meaningful way, it has to start there. He knows how to play. And from a technical standpoint, from a fundamental standpoint, he's pretty good. But unless he gets stronger, then he's got no chance. So the one thing, it's very interesting, the contrast between the two guys, because I think that's the most competitive position on the team right now. And the two guys could not be more different. You have the one guy who I think is a very good technician who is lacking in strength, and you have the other guy who is a pure power player who has to learn what the other guy already knows. I think that's one of the things that makes the competition so interesting.
Yeah, but the guy who needs to learn, he can certainly do that, and he's got a staff now that is going to focus on the fundamentals and coaching those things. I really like Jordan Mailata's chances.
I do too. I think he's John. I think he's really good. I mean, when I went back and looked at last year, he played on. In a knee jerk kind of way, we keep talking the offensive line fell apart, the offensive line got hurt, the offensive line was terrible. I'm not going to say they were good, and 65 sacks is way too many. But if you break it down and you just break down Mailata's games, Mailata, I thought, played quite well. He's already a competent player. I mean, we all talk about how much he has to learn and everything, which is probably true. But he's already at a level where he can go out there and he can play. I mean, there's no question he can go out there and play. And you would assume, at least I would assume, that the more he plays and the more he practices, the better he's going to get. So I think I think in terms of you're talking about a ceiling for a player, I think Mailata's ceiling is quite high.
Yeah, me too. I love it. So similarly, on the defensive side of things, we have a competition at the defensive end spot, the right defensive end spot, opposite Brandon Graham, and Josh Sweat got the start with the ones today over Derek Barnett. That competition, how do you evaluate that one?
I think that's interesting. You know, because you would think if you're just going on pedigree and history, you would think that, when the ones take the field, at least for the first day, that Barnett would be the guy.
I was I was very surprised, Ray.
It was the first thing I noticed. When I saw the full defense together, that stuck out like a sore thumb to me, number 94 lining up opposite number 55. That was a big deal.
I mean, that would have jumped right out at me, too, because you would just assume that it's been Barnett's job. You know, he's the number one. But to be honest with you, I thought that by the end of last year, Ida Sweat was playing better. He was certainly making more of an impact. I think he's another guy that needs to get stronger. I think he's another guy that needs to add some strength. But I thought that last year he made a huge leap in terms of his game, and I thought coming into this year, I thought the two most competitive positions coming in this camp were what we've already talked about is left tackle on offense and right defensive end. And the fact that they're willing to put Sweat out there with the first team, I think it's good. I think it sends a message to Barnett that if he thought this was going to get handed to him, it ain't going to be that easy.
Ray, awesome analysis as always. We look forward to talking to you next Wednesday. Who do you got this weekend for Tell Us Your Story?
Glenn and I are off.
Oh, well, there you go.
So no one.
I guess that's no one.
No, this is my last WIP appearance for a couple of weeks. He and I are taking a couple of weeks off, and then we'll be back. But when we come back, we have a great Tell Us Your Story when we come back, and it's Chris Long. He's really good.
Excellent. All right, Ray. Well, we look forward to touching base with you in the coming weeks, and have a great vacation, Ray.
All right. Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Ray.
Take care.
Right, there
bye-bye.
He is, the Diddy with us. All right. To the phones we go. Actually, before the phones, James, you got some baseball news in there?
Yeah. A name the Phillies were connected to will not be a Philly. The Miami Marlins are trading Starling Marte to the Oakland A's, so he is off the market. And for what it's worth in terms of setting the market, Jesus Luzardo, the player going back to the Marlins, big-time return for a rental. He was the number 12 prospect in baseball heading into last season. Was with the A's all of last year, very highly regarded. So Marte, a rental player, it's a pretty big haul for a rental player.
And it speaks to two things I've been very clear about. One, I don't think the Phillies really have the prime prospects to get the prime veteran players in baseball. And two, to the extent the Phillies have some prospects, not prime prospects, but some prospects, I don't want the Phillies to trade them. I mean, I can't be any more clear about that. Let's go to the phones, Matt and Ridley. Matt, you're on WIP.
Yo, Matt, what happened last night? You didn't play all that well. You got lit up.
Who got lit up?
You. Matt
Moore.
How'd
I get lit up? Oh, I'm Matt Moore again. Yeah, that's it.
Come on. That
is an insult to the DeCamera name, let me tell you. Yeah.
Yeah, you stunk.
I'd rather be Herman Moore. I'd rather be Sir Thomas Moore than Matt Moore. And Sir Thomas Moore is dead, and I'd rather be him.
All right. What do we got here?
How do you respond to that one right there, right?
I don't know. I mean, listen, I guess I'd rather be Matt Moore. Number one, he's alive.
Yeah, I would hope so. Matt Moore is making a lot of money. I think he's doing all right, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I guess I'd have to rather be Matt Moore. But I'll tell you this, 1,000 years from now, the world's going to know Sir Thomas more than they know Matt Moore.
What about Clement Seymour, the guy who wrote "Twas the Night Before Christmas"?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
When are we gonna go out and start hitting them, Joe?
I got you on my list, Matt. You and I are going out to play golf definitely sometime either in August or September. We will set it up.
All right.
Joe's been practicing. Matt,
dude,
he's been practicing
a lot. Matt, you should have seen me.
He needs to do a lot of practicing.
You should have seen me in the sand trap yesterday. It was ugly. Absolutely ugly.
All right.
I can get in there, and it can grab me for 5 or 6 strokes sometimes. It's a killer.
So what's the Phillies talk? What are we talking about? Still getting a hold of Kimbrough or no?
Better not.
I hope so.
They're not good enough to go for it, Matt. They're not good enough. I'm telling you, the Phillies aren't good enough to be buyers.
Well, if they had better players, then they would be good enough. And
that's the thought. They're good enough to win this division.
And you can't buy unless you're selling at the same time. The thing where you're saying, are we sellers or are we buyers? Well, it's both. You can't buy without selling. So it's
well, you understand the concept. No, hold on. Right. The concept of selling is you're selling your major league players. The concept of buying is you're selling your minor league players. Everyone understands.
If you're selling, then you're giving up on the season.
I'll tell you this. I've been very clear. I would trade Gene Segura right now while his value is highest. And I would have $14 million to play with in the offseason for a Phillies budget. So, yes, I actually would.
The money's irrelevant. There's no cap. We don't need that $14
but
million.
But the Phillies always have their own cap. We know this about the Phillies. We know this.
They'll go over it if they need to, if they get quality players. You would go over it for another starter, a number two starter.
We think they will.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. We've also been hearing this for 4 years they might. They still haven't.
It's a different front office.
It's the same ownership, and they have just about the same record that they've had now for the fourth consecutive year.
But it's a different guy making the decisions.
You got a new GM president now.
Yes.
Listen, Matt, you love him, and I kind of like Dombrowski. Just remember this. That Matt Moore guy you watched last night, we were all ripping at the start of this phone call. Dave Dombrowski signed him. Like, Dave Dombrowski said, we're signing this guy to have him be either our fourth or our fifth starter. So when
and
you
then
watch,
if he doesn't work, we'll make a change prior to the trade deadline.
Okay, but it's
right. That's time is upon us.
All right, but fellas, it's July 28th, and they've wasted 4 months.
And they tried it's to make a change prior to the trade deadline, and it didn't work.
It's a
they
self.
Will continue to try to work,
guys,
to get Matt Moore out.
Signing
of there.
Matt Moore is a self-fulfilling prophecy. You guarantee yourself to not be good enough. I'm telling you, I guarantee you that signing Matt Moore guarantees you you won't be good enough.
I guarantee you, your golf game isn't good enough. How about
well,
that?
That's actually accurate. Matt, give me who's fashionable.
I don't really care for him or his attitude, but I'll give it to him. Sells, who did I say
you
earlier?
You said Cam Newton,
like,
Matt. Cam Newton.
Newton.
Cam Newton. Can't
Cam
be a winning answer bad. When you can't even remember the answer. You
yeah, I don't think that's going to win.
That's too bad. And Cam is pretty fashionable.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good answer if you remembered yeah. who the answer was.
Terrible. Horrible presentation right there. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. Time's yours at 145. We're from Eagles training camp. Coming up, time's yours 145, 94 WIP.
The Park Sportsbook is the official sportsbook partner of the Real Sports Fan. Bet on it all. Baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Live in-game play-by-play betting lets you bet while you watch. Parks is the only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in Pennsylvania and the only one I recommend. Bet the money line as it changes during the game on the Park Sportsbook app and bet on individual player performances as they happen. Baseball, bet hits, home runs, and pitcher strikeouts every inning. Golf, bet on match winners, bet on leaders after rounds, and more. Or you can always bet on spreads, parlays, props, teasers, over-unders. New customers sign up right now. Get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code JRWIP. You can bet futures for pro football like over under 6.5 total wins for Philadelphia. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the details. Do it now. Get home field advantage with Parks Casino Sportsbook.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.